At the end of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul listed a series of 8 brief exhortations that I've been considering lately, and I referred to them as my responses to God. And through these admonitions, the apostle instructed and encouraged believers about our daily living and things, if we, by the grace of God, do them, will guarantee spiritual success. Verses 23 and 4 follow that series of exhortations in 1 Thessalonians 5 and change the viewpoint from my responses to God to God's responses to me. And last time we looked at the first part of verse 23, especially the expression, the God of peace. Two things stand out in the matter of God's being the God of peace, at least as I relate it to this passage. In the first place, God makes peace by justifying repentant sinners. They are no longer rebels at war with God. God has reconciled them to himself. He's done that, of course, through the blood death of his son, Jesus. Instead of being in conflict and under condemnation from their sin, born-again people have peace with God through the justifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, born-again people also have peace, the peace of God, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a second aspect of the peace that God produces. One is the stoppage of the warfare, and the other is making these one-time rebels his children and making them fully like himself. And this sanctifying work is an ongoing work within believers, to progressively restore his image in them. This aspect of peace, which I'll repeat from previous, is not just cessation of conflict, but it's being complete. It's fully being fully developed, being healthy and balanced, functioning as the Maker himself intends. So it's a joyful fullness that God will be pleased to work in us. In Colossians 3, Paul wrote of putting off the old man, that means the old nature, our old selves and tendencies to sin, and putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. So he connects the renewing process there into the image of God who created us, and peace ruling in our hearts. And I think that's a pretty good parallel to how I see this in the passage at hand. By his sanctifying work in the believer, the Holy Spirit gives his people spiritual strength and stability. He brings them into joyful fellowship with God. He increases their capacity to enjoy God and his blessings. He develops their abilities to serve God more faithfully. And one day in the future, he will certainly complete the wonderful work that he began when he started this process, as it were, and first called them to himself. And there's so many more ways I think you could characterize the ongoing work of God through the Holy Spirit to make of his people that which will please him fully. And so it's the God of peace, Paul says, who will sanctify us wholly or completely. In other words, and I'm sorry you can't see this on the screen, but we believers are to be holy, holy. Because it's spelled differently, and I think it's kind of lost in the translation between me and you. W-H-O-L-L-Y, H-O-L-Y. We're to be holy, holy. Paul referred to their whole spirit and soul and body in this passage, in this prayer. And certainly these are biblical terms for different aspects of our being. No one doubts that. Body obviously refers to our physical or material part, which is very important to God. Soul and spirit are two different parts of our non-physical or non-material being. But there are other terms in Scripture that refer to other aspects of our non-physical part. For example, the word heart is used, the word will, conscience, mind. And this is not going to be a declaration about I've figured it all out after thousands of years of church history. I'm going to tell you now how many parts man is comprised of. But whether we're three-part beings or five-part beings or whatever you will, the theologians have a lot of discussion on those things. It's clear from this verse and others that every part of our being, however many there are important to God, and God is being asked here to make us holy in every one of them, including our body. Every part will be kept blameless until either death takes us or the Lord Jesus takes us from this earth. In Ephesians 5, Paul wrote that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus prayed something there that should be very familiar to us here. In verse 17, he asked God to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I think you've heard that verse now and then. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to fulfill our Heavenly Father's desire that we be fully sanctified, that we be holy in every part. Ephesians 4 has a parallel statement, tells each of us to put off our old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. A similar passage in Colossians tells us that we have put off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. And I referred to that. He goes on to say, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Sanctification means change, but it requires cooperation. It's a process in which the believer must willingly participate. Although we certainly fail too often to respond to the Holy Spirit as we ought to respond, God is not a bully who forces us to do something that is against our own wills. Not in sanctification. He gives us instead new hearts as we come to him and repent of sin and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Hearts that desire his fellowship and his favor. Perhaps Ezekiel's prophecy about the nation of Israel in the last days can illustrate this. This is chapter 11, and in that chapter, the Lord had Ezekiel prophesy about the new covenant that he would one day make with Israel. This is his people, earthly nation Israel, and bring them back to their ancestral land, and they will turn away from their idols. And here are the words. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, from Ezekiel's wording, maybe I can bring some of that to bear on this passage. In that justifying work that God does through Christ's sacrifice, his atoning work on the cross, we have a new heart. We're given a new spirit. God took the stony heart out, and he put a heart of flesh in. And he declares a person righteous when that person repents of sin and calls upon the Lord for mercy. We're justified in a moment. It's a declaration, an announcement by God. By justification, we are not made any different. But we have a different relationship to God's law and to God himself. We're declared not guilty. We're not going to suffer in ways that we really should have. But God justifies. He paid the price. We receive it as a free gift. And it's done. Sanctification might parallel these words that God spoke about Israel. They're going to walk in my statutes. They're going to keep my ordinances and do them. And in sanctification, God makes us more righteous as he has declared us righteous through justification. Just by grace through faith. But in sanctification, it's a walk. And it's progress and it's change. Day by day in many, many ways. So we obey God's statutes. We keep his ordinances. And we do them. I think the words from Charles Wesley's hymn express a great deal of this truth. I think you'll find the words fairly familiar. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed, and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart. Come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, thy new, best name of love. There's a lot there to think about in connection with the life that is to be lived once we come to God and ask for his forgiveness from sin. As we seek to live out the exhortations in 1 Thessalonians 5, we must remember that according to Ephesians 2, that we are God's workmanship, a highly ornate and crafted object. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we also know that even when we do what we call our best, we fail. We certainly fail to fulfill even one of these exhortations as well as others. But we are not to despair. We are to remember that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so Paul prayed, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this work that you do for us and the work that you do in us. And though we can never have a share in paying the price that our sin demanded, we thank you for the free gift. And we who've received it now are to walk with you and to trust you and to receive that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to bring us ever closer, more and more like you, to work in us what is pleasing to you. Make us more in your image and help us to be active in seeking that out as we seek to live to the glory of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.